Good day, everyone, or I should say good evening, everyone, as we are broadcasting live at 9 o'clock at night in the central time zone. But of course, on the east and on the west, we've tried to make this podcast broadcast as accessible to everyone. So whether you're on the east coast and it's a bit earlier and hopefully you're having some delicious supper time right now, or whether you're in central Ontario and it might be a little bit later at night, or maybe on the west coast, you're having supper time, I guess in the east coast, you're having a very late supper than if you're on the West Coast and perhaps just tucking into something delicious. Tonight we have joining us, and again, unfortunately, you're stuck with me again, as Ken is hopefully getting here very, very shortly, and I'm filling in with the questioning for the meantime. But tonight, we are super excited to have Michelle with us, who is the CEO of Busy Minds. And Busy Minds, and well, I won't actually say what Busy Minds is, because Michelle is going to do a much better job than I am. But suffice to say that this time of year in scouting, much like all, you know, youth-facing organizations, as well as other organizations, and just maybe adults or children in general, this time of year is tough. It is snowy. It is cold. Blue Monday happens. Credit card bills are due. And this is not the best time of year. And more specifically, I think we as people, as humans, are not at our best this time of year. And Michelle is joining us tonight to talk about what can we do about that? And how can we, you know, reflect in with ourselves? So without further ado, I'm going to bring Michelle in, and I've got a great challenge for her. So welcome, Michelle.
Hello. How are you? I'm great. How are you, Mike?
I am doing good. I did my own, I did a little bit of my own self reflection and self help for myself. And I'm just getting back from the gym. I did a personal training session. So my legs are burning.
Amazing. That's great. Because we all know that movement is one of the most important things for our mental and physical health. So that's wonderful.
So before we get into, you know, what is Busy Minds or Little Yogis and what does this partnership with Scouts Canada look like, I'm gonna give you the challenge. So okay. we do this, we put our guests through a little bit of fun. I mean, points don't really matter. They're all fake internet more points at the end of the day. But we've asked you to prepare. So last month in February, we had our director of program talking about our Sasquatch Seekers Challenge. And she had to put a popsicle stick in her mouth and balance dice as she was kind of delivering her key messaging. So we're not going to, you know, spoil it by giving you the same challenge. But I've got an equally challenging activity for you. So I think all you know right now is that you've got a deck of cards.
Yes.
And some coins.
Deck of cards ready. Yep. And some coins.
So what we're going to ask you to do is build a house of cards.
All
right. So I would think at least two levels for the house of cards. You could go three if you're really feeling ambitious, but
okay.
Two levels on a house of cards, and then stack as many of those coins as possible on top without letting it fall.
All right.
If it falls, just start all over again. And at the end, we'll get our studio audience on the Facebook discussion group and our workplace channels to award those fake internet points. So I would say 2 points for every coin. But,
right.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how you do. We'll see how you do.
Okay.
But you, while you're doing that,
yes.
While you're doing that, tell us about Busy Minds. What is Busy Minds? Why do you exist? Who are you and what do you do?
Yes. So I'm not very good at building card card houses. So we're going to try this. But
perfect.
Busy Minds Ed is a mobile enrichment program that teaches mindfulness and movement to children in both schools, child cares, and other organizations such as Scouts. We teach various activities. So we've kind of evolved from Little Yogis Academy, which was just yoga and mindfulness practices for the kiddos, to other activities now. So we teach yoga, mindfulness, dance, as well as a play-based gym class, because we know that movement in all its forms are really great for our minds and bodies. So And I'll tell you, Mike,
it's hard to do both at the same time, right?
It's hard to just trying, but we're going to just do our best here.
So maybe tell me a little bit about the difference between yoga and busy minds, because it sounds like busy minds is more robust, right? I mean, yoga and movement, there's intentionality in movement, and there's that disconnect to reconnect using movement as a way to kind of focus or channel that energy. How does busy minds and broadening that perspective to more than just yoga, what does that mean for kids? What does that mean for kids' mental health? Why do they need that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason why I named it Busy Minds is because, you know, sometimes we all have a really busy mind, especially during the winter, as you were saying, Mike. So sometimes when our head is kind of flooded with a lot of different emotions, a lot of different thoughts, it can be extremely overwhelming, right? And so we know that being mindful, being present in the moment and trying to get all that clutter out of our minds really helps with our mental health and it helps our overall well-being. So really, we wanted to evolve from just yoga to be able to support both mind and body. So we want to provide a holistic educational experience so that we can really try to help kids, because we know definitely in a post-COVID era, kids are not okay, right? And a lot of kids are struggling, and we thought, you know, kids are always resilient, it's okay, you know, they'll get through it. But really what COVID did is it kind of opened up our minds and our eyes to say, well, you know, kids can struggle just like adults with mental health issues. And how do we really provide this education at a young age so that they have those tools right away to be able to have a happy and healthy, you know, adolescent and teenage years? So that's really our goal with Busy Minds Ed.
And that's really what our goal in scouting is, right? I mean, outside of maybe the holistic and kind of what you offer, I mean, our whole mission in scouting is all about taking kids and better preparing them for success in the world. Whether that world is tomorrow or the future is tomorrow, or is it, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 years from now, what we really want to do is provide kids with an experience or various amounts of experiences or adventure, whether they be indoors or outdoors, to kind of build them up for success. And so this is part of this could be an adventure, really, in helping to develop those kids to be better prepared for tomorrow. I guess maybe I'll turn it over to you and ask you a bit about kind of maybe the specific program resources that we're providing in Safety Week. So our Safety Week is happening in April.
Yes,
so
yes.
I'll let everybody know the Safety Week is happening in the first week of April, and we've got some great resources that might not be public yet, but maybe Michelle, you can talk a little bit about, you know, journaling and some of the resources that we've got available to our youth and for our scouters to facilitate in their section meetings.
Yes, absolutely. So we are so thrilled to be partnering with Scouts Canada for Safety Week this year. So we're going to be providing various activities and resources so that the Scouts can really experience what mindfulness is, experience a little bit about gratitude, and just help really foster happier and healthier generation. So we have a few things that we're going to be providing, one being a guided mindfulness relaxation exercise. So we provided that to the Scout leaders, and really it is a guided meditation. So they have a script to read and they can facilitate that meditation for the Scouts. And one thing to note is for the Scouts, many of them, this will be their first time experiencing mindfulness, right? Or meditation. So it's really important for the Scout leaders to really have that discussion, ask them, you know, have you ever done a meditation before? Have you ever practiced mindfulness? What is mindfulness? And then after the guided meditation, really chatting about, okay, how did that make you feel? Let's talk about the various things and the various emotions that it really brought up for you. So it'll be a really great experience.
No, that sounds, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And we also have a gratitude journaling exercise for the Scouts, which is wonderful. We know that practicing gratitude is really great for our mental health. It really decreases anxiety, depression, and just really helps us get into a better mood. So there's a little gratitude journaling exercise where they can write down, you know, what am I grateful for today? Describe what I'm grateful for in a drawing, right? What are the three best things that happened to me today? And when we do that, we really are able to shift our mindset to a more happy mood. So if you think about it, in the winter, we can kind of feel kind of down. Maybe it's really gray every day, you know, it's cold weather, we're getting up, we just don't feel like leaving our house. And it kind of puts this dark cloud over our heads. And it can be very difficult for a lot of people. So what gratitude does is it kind of shifts our mindset and says, huh, yeah, I have a lot of great things in my life. I have a roof over my head. I had three meals today. I have a family who loves me. Just simple things that we kind of take for granted every single day can really put things into perspective on how really lucky we all are.
Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that because, of course, like right now, for my family, it's the season of Lent, you know, leading up to Easter. And that was one thing that my wife encouraged all the kids to take on as a thing during Lent was, you know what, here's a notebook. And so everybody's like been trying to do like a little gratitude journal over the course of the last few weeks and into the next few. So I totally agree. It is it's an excellent frame of mind. And actually just, I can think of like a lot of like spiritual directors and counselors that I know and have spoken with, you know, talk about how like gratitude, if you can't get into anything else, get into the habit of gratitude, because you're exactly right. It will reframe your mind so much to just stop and be able to find something that you are thankful for.
Exactly. And what I love about Scouts is that, you know, a lot of your activities and a lot of your programming happens within nature, right? And so we know that nature can kind of naturally help us feel grateful for the natural earth, the world, the natural earth. It's like, wow, we are actually here on earth. Look at this beautiful nature surrounding us. And we really incorporated a lot of that into the guided mindfulness meditation. You know, we ask the children to close their eyes and really picture themselves in a natural surrounding. And we like to call it their happy place. So think of, you know, your happy place, right? And I grew up as a scout. I went to summer camp. I went to scouting camp and I absolutely loved it. And I always felt so calm and so happy when at camp, by the water, in a natural surrounding. So we try to do that with the guided meditation and say, hey, look how lucky we are. And this is really your happy place. And you can really come back to this happy place at any time, whether you're stressed, upset, you know, those big emotions really are really present that day, go back to your happy place.
Yep. You know, I'm reminded too of, and I mean, I can't speak for all Scout groups across Canada because I haven't met them all yet, but I know like within our group, we've fallen out of this practice, but I'm reminded of nothing so much as what used to be a very commonplace thing called the Scout Zone. So if the camp carried over, usually like, I mean, the camp goes over the weekend and usually on Sunday morning, we would carve out a little bit of time to have like a reflective period. And I think at one point in the history of scouting here in Canada, that might've had a more obviously Christian veneer to it. Certainly in my experience as a scout, we were already moving away from anything overtly religious in theme, but it was always that time, just kind of last day of camp. First thing in the morning after breakfast, we're going to take a little bit of time. We're going to do some kind of reflection, often around the idea of nature, sometimes around the idea of gratitude, teamwork, you know, those core concepts of scouting. But it was always, you know, in that natural setting. And this kind of feels a little bit like, hey, maybe we should get back to that, but do it like in a more regular fashion.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we really try to promote at Busy Mindset. And within our classes, we work with a lot of child cares and schools almost every single week. And we always incorporate a mindfulness relaxation exercise and a gratitude activity of some kind so that it becomes almost innate in a child to think, okay, this feels great. If I continuously practice this and I'm consistent, then I'm going to be happier and healthier, right? And that's what we really try to get across in a really child-friendly way.
Nice. So I guess just reading the room a little bit and getting some of the questions that they're asking, because it is mostly volunteers watching this right now. So we're going to be the people who are running this with the Beavers, the Cubs, the Scouts. Will there be training? Because it's probably the case that, you know, not every adult has, you know, a good meditative, mindful, prayerful practice in their life, right? You know, however you want to practice mindfulness, whatever form that takes, not a lot of people do it. More people are. I think there's sort of this, you know, rediscovery of the concept underway, but for those people who like aren't particularly familiar with how to practice mindfulness themselves, will there be training available for Scouters ahead of when we actually need to deliver this to the kids on like how to answer the youth's questions about guided meditation, or even if the Scouters themselves have questions, will there be resources?
Yes. So I will be filming a tutorial for the workplace on Scouts Workplace, which is called the Network, I believe.
Yes.
Is that correct, Ken? Okay.
Join the network. Join the network.
Yes. So I will be filming how to deliver this exercise. So please do tune in. And I will hopefully be able to answer any questions that you may have just generally about mindfulness. And really, it seems like a big word that's really misunderstood, but all it really means is being present in the moment without judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And so within the guided meditation, I have a lot of tips there on how to create a really relaxing, comfortable environment for the Scouts, how to set up the space. Maybe, you know, we dim the lights, we have some calming nature sounds playing in the background. And then I have some great questions to really facilitate a discussion before and after the meditation. So that is all there for them. So hopefully they have everything they need, and we'll be providing that tutorial. But of course, we're always here if people need to reach out and have, you know, further questions once they go through all the resources and they want extra support. Please do reach out. I would be happy to help.
Would it be advisable if, you know, people were really, really wanting to start to develop a bit of a practice themselves so that they actually have some practical knowledge to communicate to the kids? Like, would it be advisable for them to, I don't know, pick up an app like Calm or Hallo, or like find a good YouTube channel that, like, you know, will lead like 5-minute mindfulness sessions, anything like that?
Absolutely. I highly recommend it for anyone because, you know, we all want to lead happier, healthier lives. And there's so many free resources online. So I use YouTube a lot, not only for my yoga practice, but for my mindfulness practice. On YouTube, you can find very short, really calming meditations, either guided or it could just be really just calming, relaxing music, and just trying to sit without thought for 2 to 5 minutes. That's a great way to start, right? And I will tell you, it is not easy trying to sit there. You know, the thoughts come and, you know, it's very, very difficult, but just start slow. And as you mentioned, Ken, you know, apps like Calm, there's Headspace as well, many great apps that you can start practicing. Just try to do it once every single day for 5 minutes. That's really the goal. And see how it really makes you feel. And if you believe in it and it makes you feel great and you start having this practice, when you deliver it to your Scouts, they're going to really know that you truly believe in it. And they're going to want to practice as well.
Awesome. And sorry, I've got like 2 different messages from Mike here that I'm just trying to parse out.
We have lots of questions here. Yes.
So, and I mean, I think you talked a little bit about, like, you know, some of the benefits of at least the mindfulness side. And I'm assuming journaling, you know, broadly speaking, confers a lot of the same benefits because you're actually taking time to, well, I mean, even if you're just writing, you know, I hate my commute. It's maybe not like the most positive headspace to be in, but it's still good to actually get that out of you in some way. Yes. And, you know, hopefully you can if you do that a few times, maybe you can move past that to something else. But a lot of the same benefits, I think, flow from journaling as flow from taking those times for reflection and mindfulness and prayer and all of that good stuff. But just before we move on to the audience, we need a word. We need a word. And as we move forward, or even a couple of words, you know, I think last week we were doing like five, and that was a lot to juggle. But, you know, a couple of words, if you could just kindly throw them into the chat, because we should very much like to challenge Michelle to work the word words into future replies. And there are apparently points being scored here, so
yes, you know, and Ken, I already failed miserably at the minute to win it challenge. I couldn't even get one row of the of the cards really stacked. You know, I'm blaming it on my very slippery glass table here, so I would normally be able to do it. So hopefully this next challenge I'll be able to master.
All righty. Well, actually, so this is a good question, because I mean, obviously we are broadcasting this on the network, but the main audience is coming from Facebook, far and away. Right. That is like the biggest collection of scouters. So it's through the Scouts Canada discussion group that most of the audience is coming in and submitting questions. And I mean, it is absolutely awesome that you're going to be doing the training resources through the network. But for people not on the network, well, I mean, it's always free to join the network. So you can always just join the network and access the content. But if somebody, for whatever reason, isn't on the network, will there be resources, either the same resources that you're going to produce for the network, or just stuff about the Busy Minds approach in general that people would be able to gain access to without joining Workplace?
Absolutely. So I know that a lot of the resources, including tips and tricks for delivery, will be available on the website, along with that training on the network. People can also visit our website at busymindsed.com, and we have various blogs on mindfulness, teaching wellness to kids, a lot of tips and tricks. So there's a lot of great content there as well. So a lot of it should be able to be accessible to everyone to deliver. But again, of course, anyone can reach out to us personally at info@busyminds.ca and ask us questions, anything that may come to mind. But we did make sure that we provided enough information within the resources on how to plan for the actual activity, how to do it, and then how to review, right? So, oh, yeah, info@busyminds, fantastic. So all of it should be there, but of course, anyone can reach out at any time and just ask away. That's what we're here for, because we realize not everyone is an expert at this, and there may be many questions that come out. So please do reach out.
Awesome. Okay, well, hey, there we go. We have some words.
Yes.
Thank you for the words. I was worried that we weren't going to be getting any words. I was like queuing up Microsoft Copilot. We were going to be like, you know, this is the first podcast with AI generated content, but this is better. So, all right. As we move on, we'll have to
incorporate these. Perfect. Try
and incorporate some of these words. So, this question's been kind of sitting in the queue for a little bit, but, in your opinion, and I think you kind of spoke to this a little bit earlier when you were talking about, you know, your own experiences through scouting, but, you know, in your opinion, is it better to meditate indoors or outdoors?
That's a great question. Now I'm trying to include these these words in my answer, but really there's no bad place to have a peaceful meditation. That could be indoors. Maybe you're sitting next to a clock and it may be ticking, and that would be really distracting. So you want to be in a place that is distraction free, right? So no grizzly bears running around you. And perhaps, you know, to be comfortable, maybe that's lying down or sitting up. You may need a blanket on you to stay warm, because as soon as you start thinking about, ooh, my body's cold or I'm uncomfortable, that's when our minds start to wander. So you want to be as comfortable as possible, whether that's indoors or out. I highly recommend practicing mindful relaxation outdoors because you're surrounded by nature all the beautiful butterflies, the trees, and the water. All those calming sounds really help your nervous system calm down. And if you're like me, woohoo! If you're like me, anytime you're near water, or if you're in a forest by trees, it instantly calms your nervous system. So just imagine trying to do a mindfulness meditation outdoors. It's going to be a lot easier than when you're indoors with a bunch of distractions around.
I see some comments rolling into the effect of, now, I don't know about forest bathing. I mean, I have, you know, backcountry bathing before. I wouldn't recommend using a glacial stream as any kind of key to mindfulness. It is the opposite of that. But, you know, now blanket forts, on the other hand,
okay,
I can see the appeal.
Love that. Yes. Forest bathing. I've heard of this. And really, it's just a fancy term for, hey, let's spend time in nature. And it really is going to soothe our bodies and minds and make us feel really, really good. And that's, again, I keep going back to what I love about Scouts, but I wish more organizations, more schools really spent more time outdoors with kids, because we know how good it is for us. So I highly recommend forest bathing.
There you go. Of course, it helps to have a forest nearby, which can be a challenge in some communities.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I was very spoiled where I grew up, because a block south of my house, there was just this lovely little patch of forest. And
beautiful.
Yes, spent a lot of my youth in the trees.
Amazing. But you know what? What's great about many cities is that there's a lot of like hiking trails right in the city, or just parks, a lot of green space. So it doesn't have to necessarily be a forest. Just get outdoors, get somewhere where there's something green, right? Not concrete. You know, I live in Toronto, so I know a lot about concrete and all the buildings, but there's so many great trails and green spaces within Toronto, right? And most cities do have that. So highly recommend it.
But yes. And I mean, you know, we talk about forests, but I mean, it could be, you know, there are other settings that are more than, I think, conducive to this sort of thing. You know, maybe you live near the water, right? A lot of, you know, lakes often tend to have a forest quite in close proximity, but not necessarily, say, a beach at the ocean. Many do, some don't, right? But, you know, if you're close to water, you know, maybe you have a creek or a river. Any space where there's not quite the same sense of that roar of, you know, city life.
Yes.
You don't live in a city, maybe you have a bit of an advantage here.
Very true. But even, you know, even if you're not in a city, just we tend to, as humans in the winter, spend a lot of time indoors. And, you know, if you're like me and you don't really love the cold, you tend to spend a lot of time indoors, and you really start to feel it mentally and physically, right? Mm. So even if you just went for a walk around the block, you just went for a walk, got outside, it takes all that stress and distraction away with no devices, no computers, no telephones, nothing. Just go for a walk and just be outdoors. That's enough to really calm our nervous system, right? So any time outdoors is just really great for us.
Yep. And I mean, I got to confess, I'm a winter kid. So, you know, we have like 10 inches of snow in my front yard right now, and I am just in heaven. Like, this is my happy place. I get like reverse seasonal affective disorder. I can't do that. But someone was just commenting, you know, can you forest bath in the city too? And I mean, I guess you could. It's just, you know, the whole concept, which Michelle has sort of reiterated a few times, is just being able to be free of distraction. Can you do that in a city setting? You absolutely can. You can do that in just about any setting, really, if you're willing to be a bit forward thinking and a bit conscious about it. So, you know, for me, I mean, yeah, I could easily go for like, you know, a nice 30 to 50 minute walk around where I live. And as long as I'm thinking ahead a little bit about, you know, which street or path I turn down and which one I don't, I'm going to avoid all the major arteries where all the traffic is. you know, I'm going to avoid some of the busier places where, like, you know, the hockey guys are going to be out shooting pucks at the boards, because there's a bunch of rinks around the area. Mm-hmm. You know, so with a little bit of forethought, you know, yeah, I can absolutely find a route through the city that I live in that is going to be relatively distraction free. And then obviously, you know, making the additional conscious step, oh, maybe I'll leave my phone at home. Or alternatively, you know, if I'm bringing it with me, you know, I'm going to throw the AirPods in, I'm going to queue up something on Halo, and I am just going to, you know, let that carry me for the next 20, 30, 40 minutes, because it's going to go through some sort of guided thing that's going to, you know, try and help me either empty out my thoughts or focus my thoughts in a particular thing. And, you know, other apps, Calm, Mind Space, or with the other one you mentioned there, Headspace.
Calm, Headspace is a great one. Yep.
They all have that sort of coached approach where, you know, they'll suggest that, you know, and it is very challenging to like completely blank your thoughts out. But sometimes it, you know, a lot of them seem to opt for a very good start, which is, okay, well, let's pick like a particular little concept to think on, something very simple. And we're just going to hold this in mind mm-hmm. for the next 3, 5, 10 minutes.
Yes, I love that. And the whole topic of, you know, just getting out and walking and being outdoors, we often chat about going on a mindful walk, right? So if you're going outside and, you know, you're in nature, hopefully, the great part about it is that it makes you naturally mindful, and children are really the best at this. So, you know, especially if you're a parent or a scout leader, you notice you're taking the kids on a trail walk and they're all stopping and really, you know, observing everything. And as an adult, you're like, you may be rushed. You live in the city. You've got to get to work. You're like, no, let's go. Let's go. But kids, they're naturally mindful. That's what we have to get back to, right? So taking a walk, observing things. Maybe it's like looking at the pattern in a leaf, you know, looking at a beautiful tree, looking at all the beautiful, you know, patterns within that tree. Just that exercise alone is kind of taking all the clutter away and bringing us back to the present moment, which is what mindfulness is, right? So that, again, just paying attention to where you are, because if you're like me, busy mind, you're going on a hike and you're thinking of 1,000 things that you have to do. Maybe it's like, oh, I have to do the laundry, I have to cook dinner, I have to go grocery shopping, all these things. But really, let's just live in the present moment, right? Notice things around you. Just, it's going to help us all just be a lot calmer, healthier, and happier if we do that.
Yeah. And I think actually that brings us into another question here that's kind of come up, which is, so to your thinking, and I mean, I actually think this would be a really cool thing to do if there was a way to do it effectively. Mm-hmm. I know some groups may already do this. I think at one point, some of the groups that I've been in or the sections I've been in try to do this with varying degrees of success. But, you know, obviously we're going to be doing this through like the current challenge that Scouts Canada is putting out to its groups. But is this something that you would recommend that we as scouters, as volunteers, try to incorporate more regularly into the program, weekly, every couple of weeks, just as like a regular part of it, because, you know, there's a tangible benefit for the youth there?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you're asking the lady who runs the mindfulness program. So absolutely.
Yeah, of course you're going to. Yeah, of course.
But jokes aside, of course, yes. And the best part about it is it just can be so easy, right? Just as I was saying, you know, you're taking your scouts out on a hike, you're doing something. There's always an easy way to incorporate a mindfulness aspect into it and just allow them to focus. So the whole thing is consistency is key, right? So if we just practice this, you know, once every 6 months, we're not going to see the benefits, right? So if you can practice it at least once a week with the scouts and making sure that every time you're with them, there's just always, even if it's a 5-minute exercise, maybe you do that gratitude journaling activity at the start or at the end of each session, right? It can only be a few minutes, but if you regularly practice that and were consistent, that's when you start to really see all the benefits and reap those rewards. So highly, highly recommend that they do it often as they can.
Yep. And I mean, you spoke to sort of the next part of the question too. Should mindfulness be a routine? Absolutely. You know, that's...
Yes.
And I mean, you know, because, you know, with the routine comes sort of that transformative benefit of the exercises in the first place, you know, which we talked about a little bit earlier on, right? You know, when you start with that gratitude, like over time, if you're consistent about it, if you're just constantly looking for those things to be thankful for, it does over time shift your thinking. It does over time shift you towards a bit more of a positive frame of mind. So absolutely. If you can incorporate it into the weekly routine, if you can encourage it daily, you know, it's something that you can challenge your scouts, or even just, you know, your own kids, right? If you have just kids at home who aren't part of scouting, like they would benefit from this too. And, you know, maybe as a wrap up question, and I apologize if this was already touched on in the podcast, but like, do you have kids yourself?
I do. Yes. I have two boys.
Brilliant. So, you know, in your own life and in their lives, is there any, like, you know, particularly like standout tangible benefits that you've seen that mindfulness has brought in your home?
Absolutely. So what I often try to teach my boys to be mindful is a lot about, you know, self-regulation and big emotions, right? So I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. So as they're growing older, we go through a lot of those big emotions, big tantrums, right? So in the moment, things feel very, very big and overwhelming. So I always go back to the breath. So breathing is a very big one within mindfulness, right? So whenever we're very stressed, overwhelmed, we tend to really take shallow, shallow breaths within our chest. And you may notice that, right? So you're working and...
Oh, you feel it. You absolutely feel it. You
absolutely feel it, right? So everyone should make a conscious effort to take those big, deep belly breaths, as I tell my boys and my students, right? Take a big, deep breath in through our nose and fill our belly with enough air that it's almost like filling like a balloon, right? So you want to fill it right up and then slowly release. So whenever we're feeling those big emotions, we like to do our 5 deep breaths. We call it our high five breathing. And it does take time, but the more you remind them, you say, okay, we're having big emotions, we're really upset, let's go back to our high five breaths. Then they start realizing, okay, when I'm very upset and overwhelmed, I can take my big deep breaths and I'll feel better. And it, you know, a lot of people say, well, just breathing is natural. We all breathe, you know, what does this really do? But you will see once you start being very in tune with your breath and every day you're trying to really take those big, deep breaths, you're going to start feeling so much better. So if kids at a young age can learn that, just that one little tool, that's going to carry that with them throughout their lives, right? So I always try to just weave mindfulness or breathing or yoga into our daily routines wherever we can. Mm-hmm. But we have so many great suggestions, activities, and even free resources on busymindsed.com, but also littleyogisacademy.com. So a ton of free resources that scout leaders can use or parents can use. They can go ahead, download a lot of free flashcards, a lot of breathing exercises that are completely free, and they can start implementing them at home or with their scout group. So absolutely awesome. Highly, highly recommend.
Okay. Awesome. There is one other question that I want to touch on. And it was like sent in just at the last minute. It's a great question. But before we do that, I actually am really glad you mentioned the breathing exercise, because it reminds me of what I find about like the breathing technique you describe is the fact that you talked about, and it didn't even have anything to do with the breath. It talked about filling, like, you know, letting your tummy expand, filling your tummy, you know. Challenge to the audience right now. Just take a deep breath in. Don't think about it. Just take a deep breath in. Did you retract your stomach just now? You probably did.
Right.
And, you know, so actually like thinking about the body mechanics necessary to let the breath come in and let it expand your stomach rather than contract your stomach, right away, you're already, you know, whatever else was bothering you, now I have to think about my muscles and how they move and how I have to make the move the opposite of the way they want to move. And you do that a few times and it's like, what was I worried about? Oh, okay.
yes, Ken. And sorry, I'm just going to jump right in here because, you know, a big part of mindfulness is doing kind of that body scan, right? And we can all do it, kids, adults, right? Just scanning your body. Maybe it's before bedtime and starting from your head, going all the way to your toes and thinking about how every body part feels in that moment. And for sure, many of us adults, you know, maybe our neck and our upper back hurts. We're at a computer all day, right? So just being in tune with how does my body feel right now, right? And it's going to make you more in tune and live in that present moment. So that's a great, great point, Ken.
So, and the other question, and the other thing that, you know, I'll lead into this last question by commenting on myself because I have ADHD. I can't tell my brain to shut up no matter what I do. So for me, there's never a point where the thoughts are empty, but it does. So for me, I actually love, you know, when like an app like Halo is, okay, this phrase, just keep this phrase in your brain. And then I also have these.
Okay.
Which are it's just a cord of knots, 33 knots. And so I can literally just, I mean, I can use this as a prayer timer, but I can also use it, you know, okay, what's the phrase, right? I'm going to keep that in my head. And I'm just going to kind of just mentally repeat it to myself as I count my way along the beads. Do, 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 do. The combination of, you know, okay, I have a thought that I can focus on and I have a tactile thing that I can do is very, very good for, I find, centering, calming, and the like. And that, of course, is the lead in to the last question. I thought that the question about your own kids is going to be the last one, but then someone asked this really important question. How do we teach mindfulness? Because we do have a number of scouts who have some sort of neurodivergence, whatever that might be. How do we teach mindfulness to someone who can't shut their brain off the same as others can?
Great question. So I also have ADHD and I just discovered that this year, you know, in my adult years. One of my sons has ADHD. So it's a very big topic in our household. And we work with a lot of neurodivergent youth, a lot of kids with ASD. And it is very difficult, right? So I completely understand, Ken, when you know, your mind is always, always turning. There's always something there. And it can be extremely stressful. Mm-hmm. And ADHD youth are more prone to things like depression, anxiety, high stress, right? Overwhelm. So mindfulness is the key. And it's funny, I grew up with all these things, didn't know that I had ADHD. And when I found mindfulness and yoga, it truly changed my life because it allowed me to live in the present moment and really just work on the clutter, get it, you know, trying to get all that out of my brain. It is very difficult. There is, you know, no magic way to be able to teach someone with ADHD to do that easily. The key is consistency, right? So practice every single day, start small and really practice. If you have ADHD youth within your scout group, mindfulness is going to help them the most. And, you know, talking about neurodivergence, if we have kids on the autism spectrum, right, and we talk about delivering these mindfulness classes, really we facilitate them in the same way. However, we want to make sure that the environment is very calming, right? There's not a lot of sensory overload going on. Mm-hmm. And we try to make it as calming as possible, but we still will deliver that same guided meditation or breathing exercise, but we just have less, you know, sensory input. But it is something that I recommend for neurodivergent youth to start as young as they can to learn those tools, because as you grow older, right, it gets more difficult. So you need that really that foundation on how do I just live and declutter my brain and then feel, you know, a lot better and easier in my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. And I think you could probably use things that are, you know, like, you know, specific to ADHD, you know, focal point, right? Because hyperfocus is the other part, mm-hmm. You know, And so, you know, if you have things that, you know, can serve as like a focal point for them for, you know, even 3 to 5 minutes, if it's something that they're, you know, able to just, again, you know, repeat. And if it helps to have like a tactile accessory that they can, you know, again, they're just running, to, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a really great exercise since we're in scouts anyways to, you know, okay, well, let's just tie like 10 knots in this rope, right? And then, you know, okay, now we're going to do the mindfulness exercise. So if you can't clear your mind, I want you to think about thing, right? And then I want you to, you know, take a deep, you know, hold the knot, take a deep breath in, think about the thing, let your breath out, move to the next knot, deep breath in, think about the thing, right? And just kind of say the thing in your head 10 times as you move down your knots that you just tied. Breathe in, breathe out, like just sort of give them a few, give them that pattern, and they can repeat the pattern. They can fixate on the pattern for like, you know, a couple of minutes and keep going.
I love that, Ken. Absolutely. I mean, we know that things like fidgets are great for kids with ADHD, right? So mm-hmm. if they're having a hard time lying down or sitting in the meditation, which is likely going to happen, if they have something they can touch, something tactile they can fidget with, they're more likely to be able to last a little longer within the meditation. Yeah. Also focus, right? Just like you said, Ken. So if you're in a room, maybe they can't close their eyes and do a visualization. Maybe you tell them to focus on, you know, the lamp in the room and just really focus on that lamp and just being in the present moment and trying to declutter their mind. So you're right. There's various ways that you can really adjust for neurodivergent youth, but you know, if scout leaders have particularly, you know, challenging group, they can reach out to me and I can offer some assistance or tips and tricks for their group and how to really facilitate these activities. Please do reach out and I'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Well, I think, I know I have kids to get to.
Yes.
They need to go to bed. I'm sure you do as well. So you have your own family to attend to. So thank you so much for this. And thank you again to Mike and Scouts Canada for facilitating this, and Mike for running interference for me while I was driving back from curling, picking my kids up from the wrap-up party, the things we do. And thank you again so much, Michelle, for coming on, for explaining this, and for partnering with Scouts Canada to like bring this to the program. And, you know, giving us something that hopefully will be kind of an enduring part of the program, or a framework for having some kind of enduring part of the program where, you know, we do sort of reincorporate reflection and mindfulness back into the program. Because I think, at least in my own experience of scouting, it is something that we have gotten away from, and it would be good to get back to it.
Absolutely.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you out there for listening on Facebook, on the workplace, the network. And until next time, be prepared.